Is there something that you do like to clean? And by the way, mom and dad can't use this against you. So is there something you like to clean? If mom and dad said, go clean, you go, yes. Anything? Oh, here we go. What was it?
Back room.
You like cleaning the bathroom? Perfect. Back room. Back room. Not the bath. See, I was gonna hire you to come to my house. The back, you gotta clean the back room up. All right, is there anything else we like to clean?
My room.
You like cleaning your room? All right, Julie and Joe, take note. He likes cleaning his room. All right, what do you like cleaning?
Cleaning the kitchen.
You're hired. Coming home with me today, okay? Kitchen needs cleaned. All right, see, look at all this work I'm getting done at my house now.
My bed.
You like cleaning, making your bed, all right, tidying it up. All right, one more.
The dishes.
You like doing the putting them in the dishwasher or cleaning them in the water? Okay. This one's a little scary, but what do you not like cleaning? All the hands go up here.
My bedroom.
My bedroom.
My bedroom.
Now, wait a minute. I had a bedroom over here, so you can hire them to clean your bedrooms, all right? We're working out chore swaps here. What do you not like cleaning?
The bathroom.
Bathroom.
The bedroom.
The bedroom, the bathroom. Anything, a bedroom, bathroom. All right, we'll get Ian, then I think I gotta get the adults back on track.
A bathroom.
The bathroom, all right. So you guys now know what we like cleaning, what we don't like cleaning. Alan, what do you like cleaning? He's like, I'm up. Uh-huh. All right. Thank you. You guys can head downstairs. We're going to talk with the adults a little bit more about this. So we often think about spring cleaning. This is a concept we all talk about. But I do have to wonder if this time of the year, as much or more, we might be focused on cleaning. And I took one look at the Target flyer last Sunday, and it confirmed my suspicion. Because if you look at the Target flyer right now, it's all about cleaning and organizing. They had their big sale, come buy, $75 worth of cleaning supplies and you get a gift card. Or organizing, come buy organizational doodads and get a gift card. It was all their sales this past week. And if you know me, I get pretty excited about organizing things. In fact, the last two Christmases have been really interesting at my house because Alan's old enough he gets lots of toys now. And then his birthday is 2 days after Christmas, and we get even more toys. So come December 28th, we are just surrounded by lots of toys, and those toys need organized. And you can ask my wife. I jump in the car, and I rush off to Walmart or Target or whatever's closer at the time, and I go buy new bins and boxes, and I come home, and I just have a heyday putting toys away neatly and organized. And I assure you, Alan keeps it that way. Now, yes, I know, I have a problem with organization. The first step, they say, is admitting you have a problem. I've gotten that far in my process, but that's as far as I've gone. But I think, if we're being honest, if we kind of think about what's going on in our home lives right now, in one way or another, we all find ourselves cleaning out and organizing this time of year. And it can look different in different homes. For some of us, it's all the new items we got at Christmas. And there's things, now where's this thing going to go? You got a new kitchen gadget, where's it gonna fit in my kitchen? It could be, we had a lot of get-togethers over the holiday and I just really need to clean the house. There's cookie crumbs under the couch because the grandkids were here and somehow they ended up way in the back. We had an office party, my office needs tidied up. You know, it's just the post-holiday get-together cleanup time. And maybe for other of us, we had a lot of vacation time over the holidays and it was just, I had a lot of projects to get done. You know, all of the home projects that haven't been done in the last couple of years, I finally had time, and so I'm just kind of tidying up and fixing those projects. There's also, at least at my house, an abundance of leftover cookies and candies to eat. It's okay, I'm tidying up, what do I do with them? And the obvious answer is eat them, which is what I like to do. But it's also a new year, and so some of us are doing New Year's resolutions, and so it's like I'm trying to get in shape, I'm trying to exercise more, I'm trying to do that thing less and this thing more, and so how do I deal with all the cookies? And it's just a time of year where we're trying to put things back into order, or maybe putting them into order for the first time. And so this is, I think, at least in my house, what we're thinking about right now. But it's not just our homes that need tidying up. I think we know this. It's a new year, and so we have a new opportunity to do some spiritual housekeeping as well, some spiritual cleaning. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're just going to spend some time looking at these areas. How can I get spiritually organized? How can I get spiritually cleaned up? How can I start this new year off right with God? What areas may we perhaps need to look at polishing up so that we don't miss a new opportunity of living for God? And so some of you like cleaning. Maybe you're like the kids, so I like cleaning this and cleaning that. Some of you are like the kids, I don't like cleaning. But I just want to process through together what are some things that we can work on in our own individual lives to just kind of tidy up a bit as we start a new year. And so this week, I want to start by looking at what I know as schlecht. And this is a word many of you have probably never heard of. My father-in-law taught me the word. If you study German, you might recognize the word. Schlecht is German for bad. All right, and I'm sure the Zolls, when they were looking at the bulletin this week, went, oh, we're having a German sermon this morning. Schlecht is the German word for bad. So you can say, das ist schlecht. It means this is bad. When my father-in-law taught me the word, that's not how he used it. My father-in-law will tell you that he's hungry for schlecht. And he's not hungry for bad. He's hungry for things that are bad for you. I think it might be a Pennsylvania Dutch slang use of the word, but schlecht in Pennsylvania Dutch can mean I'm hungry for sweet, sugary foods. So I'm really just craving some schlecht, some sugar stuff. And this time of year, we all have a lot of schlecht in our house. At least my house did, because many of you provided me with schlecht this past month. And I loved it. Thank you. It was wonderful. Every night after Alan went to bed, we'd break out the schlecht, and I just had so much fun eating the cookies and the candies. This year was interesting because we had two separate piles of schlecht. There was the gluten-free schlecht, and then there was the regular schlecht. And I got myself in so much trouble this year because I would maybe sneak some of the gluten-free stuff because it was good. All right, we have about 2 foot by 2 foot countertop next to our stove, and it usually holds the utensils for cooking and then the fruit bowl, you know, the healthy stuff. I should have taken a picture last week because you couldn't see the fruit. There was so much schlecht, and so I just enjoyed it. There's really not much left, but this time of year, January, we start thinking, what do I do with all this leftovers? What do I do with all the cookies and the candies? And really, the answer should be just eat it quickly and then start the diet. But we could freeze it and other things like that. But one way or another, it needed to go so that I could pretend at least that I'm starting to diet. And so this new year finds me house cleaning and getting rid of the schlecht at home. And I want to talk about how we need to do that spiritually as well. So I want to start by defining, what do I mean by spiritual schlecht? Because it's a word I made up, so I get to make the definition up too. So this is why you should always create new words. But spiritual schlecht, as I'm processing, is the things that we carry over year to year that are not good for us. These things that we hold inside of us that are not good for us, and yet for whatever reason, for different reasons, we keep them anyway. It's things that I just can't let go of, but I know they're not good for me. And so I want to talk about what does it look like to maybe clean house a bit. Now, much like the cookies and the sweets at Christmas time, we all have spiritual schlecht. I know there are some of us here today who are health nuts. And you would argue, oh no, my house does not have schlecht. We don't have sweet, sugary foods. I think you have a stash somewhere. Most of you do. There's always that one cheat day. And likewise, I think whether we consciously admit it or not, we are all carrying some sort of spiritual baggage year to year. There are some spiritual scarring and emotional issues that we know are not good for us, and yet we carry them year to year. We may not even realize that they're there. More often than not, they seem rather small. It could be things like a troubled relationship. You know, I never got along well with my dad, or my kids and I have just not been talking for a while. It could be an issue of unrepentance, struggling with anger towards certain people, resentment, bitterness, an unwillingness to forgive. It's just these small little things. It's not really a big deal. You know, it's just my relationship with so-and-so. That doesn't affect me that much. They seem small and unsubstantial, but they add up. And the longer we carry them, the heavier they seem to get, and they pull us down. And so this morning, I want to look at Paul's thought in Ephesians chapter 4. And so if you want to grab your Bible, you can turn there. It's Ephesians 4. We'll start at verse 22. But Paul's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, and you might be surprised. He doesn't use the word schlecht It's quite shocking, I know. Paul wasn't German. He probably had never heard of the word Schlecht. So he's not going to use the word. But I think as we look at what he's talking about, the concept is pretty well there. Paul's talking about, what are these things that you're carrying that you shouldn't be carrying anymore? They're bad for you, but for whatever reason, you want to keep them. And so in short, what Paul's going to tell us is it's time to clean out some things you're carrying. And I want to jump into his thought at verse 22 of chapter 4. And he writes this. He says, "You were taught, with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And so you jump into Paul's thought here, and he's looking at this idea of what is our past versus our present reality. Who were we and who are we in relationship to Christ? He says, when you came to Christ, when you came to know who Jesus was, you were changed. You're a different person. Your old self, your old way of thinking, your old way of living was cast off. Paul says, before Christ, you were wandering down this dark road. He refers to it as being corrupted by deceitful desires. He says, this is not what you want, but this is who you were. And then you met Jesus. When you fully experienced Jesus, when you understood who Jesus is and who he is, what he does in your life, something changes. He says, Jesus takes your sins, he takes your wrongs, and he pays the price for them. He takes the consequence for all of your evil, and you're marked debt-free. And hence, you are made new. Paul calls this your new self. He says, the old is gone, the old you did in the past, and you're a new person in Christ. He says, and this new person, this new you, it comes with new attitudes. It comes with new perspectives on how to live and what you do. He says, this new you, it's created to be like God, to be like God in righteousness and holiness. We should be different people knowing Jesus. He says, this is who you were, and this is who you are. But some things linger. We tend to sneak things along with us when we come to Jesus. A few months ago, we talked about this concept a little bit, and I shared the story about the kid in my youth group who always would sneak things in his bags to retreats, and I always had to do the searches, if you remember that story. It's that idea again. We tend to sneak things with us, and by sneak, it's not necessarily conscious. It's not, oh, I'm going to sneak this in, hopefully Jesus won't know. But we have a hard time of letting go of some of our old things. Things that we are so accustomed to having, we may not even realize we're still carrying them. How many of you ever looked for your glasses only to find them on your head? It's that idea of, I didn't even realize I was carrying these things. They're just, I'm so accustomed to them. Old patterns of behavior, grudges, emotions, these things that we have, we just may not even be aware of. And so Paul encourages us, in his own wording here, to get rid of the Schlecht, to get rid of these bad things. He picks it up in verse 25. He says, this is who you were, and this is who you are. Therefore, verse 25, each of you must put off, get rid of falsehood, and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And Paul says, here's who you were before Jesus, here's who you are in Jesus, a new person, and here's a list, a very specific list, of things you need to get rid of. He says, falsehood, lying. Yeah, that's what you used to do, but in Jesus, in Christ, you should speak truthfully. The words that come out of your mouth should be honest and loving and building others up. He says, there should be a difference between who you were and who you are in Jesus when it comes to anger. How do you handle anger? He says, in your anger, do not sin. Deal with your emotions before the sun goes down in a timely manner. Notice here, he doesn't say anger is a sin. And this is kind of a side rabbit trail. We often think if I'm angry, I'm sinning. No, it's what do you do with your anger? There's a difference of how I handle my anger before Jesus and after Jesus. He says stealing. And I hope none of us are struggling with stealing this morning, but it says, stop stealing already and instead work, not to provide for yourself. Did you catch what he said there? He says, work so you have something to give to others. Instead of taking from people, live a life that you can give to people. This is the difference between who you were and who you are. He says, get rid of all the unwholesome talk. Make sure your words are loving and building others up. He says, stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Stop resisting God's movement in your life. Go with the flow of what God's calling you to do. And he gives us this pretty specific list. And I have to assume, as Paul's writing to this specific church in this specific city, that he's thinking of specific people struggling with these issues. He says, here's who you were, your old self. Here's who you are in Christ. Now stop doing these specific things. And so it can be very easy for us this morning to look at that list and go, I don't steal. I'm good. I talk nicely. I'm good. And so thank you, Paul, for sharing, but that's not really an issue that I have. And so Paul doesn't let us get off the hook because he goes from that specific list and he gets a little more generic. In case any of you hearing my letter are thinking this doesn't apply to me, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We could shorten this summary by simply stating, get rid of the schlecht. Get rid of all the schlecht. Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, fighting, slander, not just some of it. You can't keep a few of these. No, get rid of all of it. Get rid of every form of malice. All of these emotions, these issues we carry, just get rid of all of them. They don't belong in the new self. Instead, in their place, be kind and compassionate, forgiving as God has forgiven you. In other words, he kind of alludes back to what he said earlier. In Christ, you have these new attitudes, this new righteousness, this new holiness of God. Therefore, you should be kind and compassionate and forgiving. When we come to Christ, our lives change. We become new people in Christ. But sometimes there are things we carry with us. There are things we bring along. Over the holidays, I had about a week that I was on vacation, and so I had some time to binge watch television, because that's what we do when we're on vacation these days. And I ended up binge watching spy shows. I don't know why that was the genre of choice. Allison actually approved my show, and we enjoyed watching several hours of some spy shows. I learned one thing, assuming that Hollywood can be trusted to be the reality of the life. What I learned is that the number one danger for a spy, the number one reason that a spy is caught is because they're carrying something from their past. They have a picture of their family. They have a picture or a piece of jewelry or something that points to who they truly are, who they were before they took on this new persona. And so in several of these shows we watched, the spy was caught by the bad guy because they were carrying something from their past, something that pointed to who they used to be or who they really are. And that same principle applies to what Paul's saying. Because the most dangerous thing, or one of the most dangerous things that we as believers can do is continue to carry things from our past. Things that are not good for us. Things that point out back to our old self and say, even though that part of me is gone, I'm still holding on to it. It's that list that Paul gives us. And Paul simply says, get rid of it. And it's kind of frustrating because Paul says, get rid of these things. And I go, wonderful, I want to. How do I do that? And Paul says, get rid of them. Well, if that was easy, I would have done it already. And so it's a challenge here. It frustrates me that Paul doesn't give us steps to how to go through this. He simply says, you need to get rid of these things. And that's something that each of us have to work through. So God, how do I get rid of these things? But I want to be even more specific today. I don't want to think about just things from my old life, because there are things not just from my pre-Christ days, there are things, there are habits, there are issues that I pick up along the way as well. Even though I'm new in Christ, that doesn't mean my life is perfect and there's not issues I'm still struggling with or new issues I'm going to struggle with. It's a new year. What did you bring with you from last year? There were a lot of great things that happened to you in 2018, I think. I know some of your stories. A lot of great things happened last year. There were a lot of memories that you made last year that you will cherish the rest of your life. There are a lot of friendships that you've built that will hopefully just continue to grow and blossom into this new year. There's a lot of learning that happened last year that will hopefully make you grow into a new and better person. These are things from last year that you're hopefully going to take with you through this year and beyond. They were great memories, but there were probably a lot of things last year that weren't so great. There might be some hard memories from last year, from hurtful situations, things that happened that are just really still pulling you down. There may have been some broken relationships last year and some things that you just still can't get over, some people you're still struggling to even talk to or think about. There may have been some challenging life lessons that you learned last year that you were still scarred from. And the problem is these things just don't go away when you flip the calendar page. So you are new in Christ. You're not new in January. It's December and I'm carrying all these things and these scars and I turn the page to January and suddenly it's all gone. And you and I know that that's not how it works. There are things from last year that we are struggling with, that we're carrying, that we need to let go of. And these things are going to affect our relationship with God. I can't tell you the number of stories this past year that I've heard about fathers. I don't know why that was the recurring story I heard at conferences and different stories of people coming and saying, hey, I have had such a challenging relationship with my earthly dad. You know, my dad passed away years ago, or I moved out of the house 30 years ago. I haven't spoken with, but I still am struggling with something that my dad said to me or something my dad did, and I just can't let it go. And all these stories come to the same point. They say, because I'm struggling with my earthly dad, my heavenly father and I have this strained relationship. We don't always process through the things that I carry with me, the emotional the anger, the bitterness, the resentment. While it's not directed towards God, it often affects my relationship with God. And Paul comes and says, you need to get rid of these things. You need to cast them out. Now, it's really easy to say, again, it's just really hard to do. How do I just get rid of something that defines how I feel about something or who I am? And Paul says, get rid of it. And if we're honest, we know that some of these things we can't get rid of on our own. I could throw the cookies out on my own. It was hard, but I did do that. But to get rid of the emotional scarring, you know, you might need to talk to a counselor. You might need to find some therapy. You might need to find a good friend to confide in. Come talk to me. I'm no expert, but I'd be happy to help. But some things that Paul says, get rid of these things, you go, I know I need to get rid of them. I just can't. And so we might need to get some help. Getting rid of something doesn't mean that you just pretend it didn't happen. In fact, when we pretend these things didn't happen, they tend just to get bigger. It does mean, however, that you need to extend forgiveness. Paul says we need to forgive just as God forgave us. If God could forgive you, then you can forgive whoever it was for whatever they did. And obviously I can say that, but I don't know the situation. But trust me, if God can forgive you, you can forgive them. Paul points to this a bit in Romans chapter 5. He says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Paul points out, God had no reason to forgive us. There was nothing compelling God to say, okay, I'll make amends with them. I'll fix the problem. In fact, Paul, throughout these verses, says, by the way, we were ungodly. We were powerless. We were sinners. We were enemies. What in that list goes, wow, God really wanted me back. God really wanted to make amends. We were completely separated from God with no reason for God to reach out to us. And yet, God sent Jesus to forgive us. Paul says, you need to understand who you were before Jesus. God had no reason to seek you out. You were powerless, ungodly, sinners, enemy. And then God sent Jesus. And then Paul says, by the way, you are to forgive like Jesus has forgiven you. Again, it's not an easy thing. It's interesting. God never really seems to call us to easy things, but he does call us to godly things. The grudges that we're carrying from this past year, or 2 years ago, or 10 years ago, they don't help us. They don't make us better people. They only hurt us. The anger that we carry with us year to year, it only weighs us down more. The temptations that we cling to because we enjoy them, they're not good for us. They only make us limp instead of running with Jesus. I don't know what 2018 looked like for you. I don't know what the past 30 years have looked like for you. But I'm willing to bet that there are some great things. Things that have shaped you and changed you and have made you grow. And I'm also willing to bet that over the last year, 2 years, 10 years, 30 years, there have been some terrible things in your life. Things that have shaped you and weighed you down and have caused you to limp. And so as we start the new year, many of us are cleaning out the schlecht in our homes, getting rid of these sweet, sugary things, these things that are bad for us, but that we tend to want to keep. We know that the sugary goodness is not good for us. It's bad, hence the word schlecht. And yet, we tend to hold on to those things a little too long. I still have a few cookies in my house. And we do the same thing spiritually. I think deep down, we all know that we need to forgive. We need to repent. We need to move on and leave certain things behind. And yet we hold on to it too long, whatever the it might be for you. Anger, resentment, temptation. And so I simply want to ask one question today. Leave you with one question to process this week is, what schlecht are you carrying from last year? What things from 2018 or 2008 or whatever year it was, what things are you carrying that you need to get rid of? Who do you need to forgive? What do you need to repent from and stop doing? What do you need to lay down and let God carry it for you? Now, like our friendly neighborhood health nuts, who say they have no schlecht in their house, they have no sugar and cookies, it's easy for us to say, oh no, no, I don't have any spiritual schlecht in my closet. God and I are good. I've dealt with all of my emotions. This is not for me. But like the health nuts who have a stash for that cheat day, many of us have one thing or another that we're carrying and we need to let go of. And so don't rush to the assumption that there's nothing I need to deal with, or don't rush to say, oh, this is a wonderful sermon for so-and-so. I wish my mother-in-law was here. I wish so-and-so was here because they're carrying. It's so easy for us to turn and look at other people and say, wow, they need to deal with something. It might be a small, little, tiny thing that you may not even be aware of. But I would be willing to bet that every one of us is carrying something that we maybe need to get rid of. And so I just want to encourage you to start your new year doing some spiritual housekeeping. Going through the house of your body, saying what schlecht, what bad stuff that I kind of like or just can't let go of, what stuff do I need to get rid of? And spend some time with God this week and ask him to show you those things. Because some of us may not even recognize them. We're just so accustomed to them. Ask God to show you those things and then maybe follow up with the question of, how do I get rid of them, God? Paul says, get rid of them. And I go, well, that sounds easy, but how? I like the how, and Paul doesn't give it to us. And so ask God, what are the things I need to get rid of? And God, show me how to get rid of them. One opportunity to do that this week. This week, starting today through Saturday, is the Brethren in Christ week of corporate prayer and fasting. So our brothers and sisters all over the U.S. are setting aside this week to pray together and to worship together and maybe even fast together. And so they've created a devotional, a day-by-day devotional for this week for church members throughout the U.S. to use. And so I believe that devotional is out on our Welcome Center. And so if you're just looking for something to maybe shape your prayer time this week and your thought process this week, grab a devotional out there. This is a week that we as a church and a larger church are spending praying and fasting and maybe asking God these questions. God, what do I need to see in my own life and how do I get rid of it? One way that we at Hope Born in Christ are going to do that together is we've organized 3 nights of worship and prayer this week. Hopefully, you're all aware of these nights because I've been talking about them for 3 or 4 weeks now. But Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week, we're having 3 nights of prayer and worship at 7 p.m. downstairs in the prayer room. And I hope all 3 nights you're all there because who doesn't love hanging out with me every night of the week? But it's an opportunity to just set aside some time, because we're busy. And say, if I say I'm going to do it at home, I may not. But if I have to get in my car and drive to church, well, then I'll be here and I'll do it. You don't have to come, obviously. You can pray and spend time with God at home. I'd love to see you here, but I'd rather know that you're doing it somewhere. To ask God these questions. God, what am I carrying? How do I get rid of it? Specifically, if you're saying, well, maybe I can come to 1 or 2 of the nights, specifically Friday night, as Tim and I have been organizing the worship sets and the devotional thoughts, we just really feel like Friday night we want to focus on praying for one another for healing, praying for one another for the struggles we're facing, and interceding on behalf of each other. And so maybe this week as you're praying and God says to you, hey, here's something you need to look at. And you go, wow, I do, and I don't know what to do about it. If nothing else, join us Friday night so we can pray for you over that. But I'd love to see you Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. You can come to my house Tuesday and Thursday if you want. Just don't tell my wife you're coming. It'll be fun. But one way or another, whether here in for an evening time together or at home in your bedroom or in your office when everyone thinks you're working and you're really praying, I don't care. Just spend some time with God this week, asking him, what things am I carrying that I need to let go? And how do I let go of them? I love my Christmas schlecht. The cookies, the candy, the pure sugary joys. Alan loves them too. He and I eat a lot of them together. But I also know I can't eat that stuff forever, that at some point it has to go. And so do some of the things we're carrying spiritually from last year. And so let's spend some time with God this week, house cleaning. God, what is inside of me that I need to get rid of so that in the coming weeks, we can together declare that the schlecht be gone. All those things are gone. We are new in Christ. We're not carrying anything. And we are ready to fulfill the calling that God has for us in 2019, whatever that might be. Because when we get rid of those things, it frees us up for new things that God's going to call us to. Let's pray. God, it's interesting. We have this mindset that when we turn a page on a calendar, when we move from December 31st to January 1st, that something is new and something is different. And deep down, we know it's just a new day, but it gives us this opportunity to say it is a new year, a new opportunity to be a new person in Christ. And so, God, many of us have kind of taking that step. Oh, it's a new year. I saw all over Facebook these last 2 weeks that, you know, it's a new year, it's a new me, it's a new opportunity. I'm letting go of the things of the past. We say those things, God, and yet many of us are carrying things from 2 years ago, from 4 years ago, from 10 years ago. And God, I pray that you would just impress upon us the power of your Holy Spirit within us this week to see the things we're carrying, the spiritual schlecht, if you will. God, just show us how to get rid of it. Show us what it is and how it needs to go. Whether it's through these times together of prayer and worship, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in our car driving. God, I just pray that you would speak so clearly to us and just help us to understand how to cast these things out. So as we gather together next week and in the weeks to come, we would just be completely new in Christ. Not that we're not new already. When we came to you, you changed who we are, but we want to fully embrace that newness and leave behind all of the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the unforgiveness, so that we can run into this new year with you to whatever you're calling us to do. And we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.